Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Gareth Greenaway joins me. We're going to talk about FawcettCon. It's a brand new conference happening in Orlando, Florida, just a few weeks away. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Gareth Greenaway. Episode 304, recorded August 13th, 2014. FawcettCon. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is the best way to buy and manage domain names. It's simple, honest, and easy to use. For 10% off your first purchase, go to Hover.com and enter promo code FLOSS8. That's FLOSS8. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, little projects, projects you may be using every day and not know about it, projects that sound interesting and you might want to go play with it right after the show. I'm joined there. See, I had all that prepared, and then I made a mistake because I was just going to say we'll bring on our co-host right about now, Gareth Greenaway. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Randall. Thanks for having me back.
It's obvious that almost anybody can do this show because they still let me keep doing it. Even with these wonderful flubs at the beginning, but that's what makes it fun. So, Gareth, where are you speaking to us from?
Well, I'm once again in my secret bunker in Thousand Oaks, California.
Right. They don't let you out until next year's scale, right?
Exactly.
Very good. Very good. And I'm, of course, back at, for those that recognize the background here, I'm back at my offices here in ZipRecruiter. They're paying me well, so I'm going to continue to keep working for them. That's always kind of handy that way. But this is not Where Are We? This is the show about things that are interesting about open source software. Today is no exception to that. We actually have a show about a conference. This is a little unusual. We've talked about projects and so on. We've also talked a few conferences on the show before. This show is about FawcettCon. The main coordinator, Brian Smith, approached me at OSCON. And said, well, I must be on your show. I must be on your show. And my show is coming up soon. So I said, okay. So I said, we'll go ahead and have him on. Looks like it's in Orlando, Florida, but only a few weeks away. So it's unfortunately the schedule is such that I can't go there. But maybe people who have the opportunity to change last minute schedules can go there. And Gareth, I especially wanted to have you as the co-host this week because, you know, you've been to a con before, right?
I've been to a few. Yeah. One or two.
And you know a little bit about what it takes to make those, right?
A little bit, yeah. A little experience in that area.
Okay, great. So you'll probably be asking more questions than I do, but I'll just come in with my naivete about how this stuff is all done. It's all magic to me. I just show up on Friday and everything's all set. So that's always the best part about conferences when I go to them. So, but before we get to talk to our guest, let me find the tab in which this is because we're so lucky. We actually have a sponsor this week. This is going to be great. As soon as I find the right tab, here we go. So, when you have a great idea and you want to secure a domain name for it, you want something catchy and memorable to represent your online identity. Hover.com gives you exactly what you need to get the job done. You find the perfect domain name for your idea so you can get started working on it. And amazingly enough, right now, Hover is having a sale on all new domain extensions through September 1st. And this sale is for new and existing customers. Summer's the perfect time to start a new project. Every single new domain is deeply discounted, so you can choose whatever you'd like. They've got a lot of the new top-level domains like .club and .ninja. Ooh, that sounds like fun. .guru. Oh, I know what I'm going to get for that one. And .just about anything, they say. People love Hover. Geeks, developers, designers, and programmers love Hover because they know they'll have the best tools and support. You don't have to be an expert to get a domain. The service is simple enough to use. Hover takes all the hassle and friction out of registering a domain. It gives you easy-to-use, powerful tools to manage your domain so anyone can do it. You can get the perfect domain name and start building your web presence right away. And it's easy. You search a few keywords. Hover will show you the best available options and suggestions. Hover is a clean and simple website. I can attest that. It's really nice and easy to use. In less than 5 minutes, you can find the domain name you want and get it up and running. And here's what I like, and I'm probably going to be taking advantage of this. Hover offers a free valet transfer service to make the process completely painless. They'll take the entire process for you. They'll take care of it, and you'll let you know when your domains are settled in your Hover account. They transfer all your DNS settings, no matter how many domain names you have. It's no additional cost. Hover is honest. They don't believe in heavy-handed upselling. They include everything you need with your domain, no more and no less. They also include a custom email. You get a smart control panel so you can do what you want with your domain. And Whois privacy is included free on every domain that supports it. and Hover has the best customer support around. No wait, no hold, no transfer phone service. When you call, a real person is there. Hover also offers volume discounts. They'll give you a discount on your domain renewal starting at just 10 domains and going up in value from there. So here's the offer. Visit Hover today to register your domain name and for 10% off your first purchase. You take advantage of this by going to hover.com and using our special promotion code, FLOSS8, all caps FLOSS, the digit 8. That way they'll let you know that we sent you there. We want to thank Hover especially for their support of Floss Weekly. Thank you very much, Hover. So let's go ahead and bring on our guest, Brian Smith. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, and where are you speaking to us from?
Down the street from the Batcave in Jacksonville, Florida.
Jacksonville, Florida. I think I've been there once or twice. Cool, cool. So you're a few hours ahead of us. You got any stock market tips?
just kidding. No.
Okay. So give us the 30,000-foot view. What is FawcettCon? Give us sort of the general overview of it.
So FawcettCon stands for Free and Open Source Software Expo and Technology Conference. It is a free and open source software conference. It's not a Linux conference. It's not a BSD conference. It is an free and open source conference for all things free and open source. A lot of events primarily have a Linux focus. And even though a lot of them invite BSD folks in, we just figured we'd leave Linux primarily out of the name and be more general.
That's cool, because sometimes I feel when I'm coming to a Linux conference, I want to talk about something like FreeBSD. I'm sort of, sheltered over to the corner there. Well, mostly people use Linux, so that's it. And I'm not a particular Linux user. And of course, now all my Linux fans are going to yell at me again. But I tend to stay away from Linux, and all of my clients tend to use that. So how did FawcettCon get started?
Well, so FawcettCon came about from various other events. I would read Linux Journal frequently, and I'd see all these great events, and then I started traveling to these events, and most of the times I was traveling to the West Coast, Portland, San Jose, L.A., up north, and then we started getting a few events in the Southeast, but there weren't many in Florida. At one point, we had an event in Florida, but it no longer exists, so FawcettCon had to come about. It's basically the situation where, you've got two kids and one kid looks over at the other kid's plate and sees they got a little bit more macaroni. That's what FawcettCon basically is. We like to have what everyone else is having in our region.
And how long did it take to get this started? I mean, FawcettCon's coming up. Well, first off, when is FawcettCon?
Well, FawcettCon is September the 11th through the 13th.
Okay, which is right around the corner from the taping of this show. So how long have you been working on this?
Well, so actually, I used to be the technical director for an event called Florida Linux Show. And the last Florida Linux Show we had was in 2009. So in 2010, I actually attempted to do the event. Well, I started a lot of the negotiations with venues, and things didn't work out right. So then I helped on with another conference, and I stepped down from the board last year. And so now we have FawcettCon coming about.
Well, so like people probably don't realize this, but how long ahead of time do you have to actually make a contract with the vendor to the facility to actually have that reserved for you?
Oh, yeah. It's generally about a year. So right now, literally before the event or during the event, you have to start looking at the space for the next year and trying to get it booked or reserved, because a lot of groups want to have events. And if you don't get in early enough, then your dates will get pushed off or there'll be contention and you won't be able to get your dates.
And I noticed this is trying to be primarily a low-cost conference as opposed to something like OSCON, where you pay, or people's employers pay through the nose to be able to send their employees there. How do you manage to keep the cost so low?
Well, we managed to keep the cost low by having sponsors primarily. And for us, it's more of a low barrier of entry event. We want to give these things to the community in regards to the training and the hospitality things, such as food during the event. So we just, do whatever we can to make up for the cost of the event with sponsorships and other means?
So one of the things that I noticed is just looking briefly at your website, FawcettCon.org, you list your keynote speakers so far. Have you published? Have you guys decided what the rest of the schedule looks like in terms of other speakers?
Yeah. So, excuse me. All of the other speakers a lot of the other speakers are actually on the site. Our call for papers was extended and it ended August the 3rd, which was last week. And so throughout the week, we've been getting a lot of the speakers to confirm those talks. And we've already got a schedule built out, but we're still waiting on other speakers to confirm those talks. So if you're a speaker and you're watching, please confirm your talk so that we can get that online so everyone can see what's going on for the event.
So this is the first year that FawcettCon has existed, correct?
Yes, sir.
So in terms of recruiting speakers, given that it's a new event that speakers hadn't spoken at before or hadn't existed before, how did you guys go about recruiting speakers?
Well, so I speak a lot at events and I go to a lot of events also. So we basically look at things in regards to, you know, like, so for instance, right now, Docker's hot. So we want someone speaking about Docker. And so at the events, I will approach individuals, and beyond that, we have our CFP that is open. So we tweet about the CFP and we you know, try to use our network of colleagues to spread the word about our event and that our CFP is open. And so what I found is that Twitter has been pretty invaluable in regards to getting the word out for the event. Also, as I said, as well as going to events, because you go to the event, you can see the speaker speaking, you know what type of energy they have, and then you just approach them after the session and say, hey, we've got this great event going on. Would you be interested in speaking at it? And then you exchange contact information. And a lot of times it actually works out good for you.
So what have been some of the challenges that you faced in recruiting speakers for FawcettCon?
Well, so with FawcettCon, we like to try and diversify our speaker pool. And that is, I mean, it takes a lot of work. And so that's one of the challenges in regards to diversity, not just gender diversity, but in the terms of ethnic diversity as well. So the thing is that we just don't accept people because they're this or they're that. But we know that we need to have a diverse speaker pool of individuals from which we can choose from. And if the speaker pool is diverse, then you end up with a better mix that better represents all of FLOSS rather than a small region. So I found myself looking for a lot of speakers, and some of our board members, we were looking for a lot of speakers that that would help diversify the pool. And I know one day I probably sent about 60 emails and I got a response back in regards to maybe 12. And so that keeps happening and happening and happening. But you just keep moving forward because you definitely will have some failures, but in the end, there'll be some success.
Great. So what's the general format of FawcettCon? You mentioned that it's a 3-day event. Kind of prospective attendees expect to see if they attend the show?
Okay, so our first day, which we call day zero, which is Thursday. Thursday is the day for training and workshops. So the day starts off, you get a nice little continental breakfast, and then you go into the sessions that'll either be 1.5 hours, 3 hours, or 6 hour sessions that'll be training from various companies. And then in between there, we provide you lunch, which is a great thing. And so that's $20 for the training sessions.
So you mentioned that the first day is called day zero. What's the reason you went with day zero?
Well, because in modern Unix and POSIX parlance, counting starts with zero. So, you know, naturally being a computer conference and primarily dealing with free and open source based around POSIX compliant OSs, we start with zero.
So it's fair to say that FawcettCon is a POSIX compliant conference.
I believe so. We're waiting on the papers to come in the mail, I think.
Well, you've certainly set the bar for the other open source conferences now. We all have to do this.
Yeah, definitely. I think it should be done. But we look at events like Scale and Southeast Linux Fest, Ohio Linux Fest, GNU Linux Fest Northwest. There are a ton to list. And we've got a lot of good ideas from Scale, actually.
So continuing with your what we were talking about, so what does the Friday of FawcettCon look like?
So Friday starts off with breakfast, and then it goes to a keynote session. And after the keynote, the expo hall opens, and then we have the speaker tracks that we're going to have 5 speaker tracks where the speakers speak on various topics that are current and relevant, and perhaps even some that were brought back from the heyday. And then after the speaker sessions, there's another keynote that ends. And from that point, the rooms are open for a break for birds of a feather. And then that's it for Friday.
And, so, Voss, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. And Saturday is basically the same format, but after the breakouts or in between the breakouts, we're going to have an after party. So it ends a little differently.
So who are the keynote speakers this year for FawcettCon, and how did you guys go about selecting them?
So we have Deb Nicholson, which Deb is, she's with the Open Invention Network. We've got Jordan Sissel, we've got Iris Gardner, and Bradley Kuhn. And so the way that we went about selecting these speakers, they submitted talks to the CFP, and it was a situation where we were looking for topics that had a broader reach and things that would resonate with more people. So a lot of the generally when you look for keynotes, it's not that it's going to be a really technical talk. It should generally be a community talk, and it should be focusing on free and open source software or IT. Things that will affect us in regards to how we view our other colleagues and how we view this whole thing that we deal with in the free and open source software world, the whole stack.
Okay. So just to give us a quick preview, what are some of the other speakers or I guess sessions that people can expect to see at FawcettCon?
So, excuse me, people can expect to see talks on game development, of course, Docker talks, talks in regards to licensing and, you know, which that's always an issue that comes up that no one wants to talk about is licensing. We'll have talks about automation. We're going to have a lot of cloud talks, which is a very nebulous term, but cloud talks. We're going to have various virtualization talks. We have talks about, let me think here. Oh, we got hardware talks as well. There's a lot of talks in between. We've got 45 talks scheduled for speaker sessions. And on the Thursday, that's a whole other batch of speakers that are going to be doing tutorials based around automation, tutorials based on virtualization, excuse me, tutorials based on things like tuning, SQL and no data stuff, you know, the whole shooting match. And also we have a good selection of community talks in regards to getting contributions and, you know, how to overcome failure, some really good submissions that we've got.
So one of the things I noticed when we were, or was wondering about when we were talking about kind of the schedule and the the days that FawcettCon occurs on, you guys decided to go with a Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule as opposed to like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or even like more in the week versus the weekend. What was the motivation behind going with Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the schedule?
Well, what we wanted to do is we wanted to try and avoid the attrition or the loss that you have on a Sunday. People tend to feel like Sunday is a day that they should relax more and they shouldn't be doing things. So a lot of people, and also being it being the last day, a lot of people leave early. I believe we believe that if the event ends on Saturday, more people will, you know, hang out and feel like, oh, it's time to kick back in Orlando, versus Sunday being the day that they have to sort of dread getting ready for Monday to go back to work.
So since FawcettCon is taking place in Orlando, Florida, have you guys organized any kind of like offsite evening or day trips to, say, like Universal Studios or Disney World or any other attractions in the area?
Yes, definitely. FawcettCon is taking place at the Rosen Plaza, which is off of International Drive. We're actually 7 minutes from Disney, and we're around 8 minutes from Universal. So what we have is if you take your conference pass to Universal, you get a discount with the FawcettCon badge. The Disney thing, we're still trying to, you know, see what we can get worked out with those folks. Now, we do have some back channel avenues that we can use, but I can't talk about those on Floss Weekly. But beyond that, we have Point Orlando, which is right across the street from the Rosen Plaza Hotel. And in Point Orlando, there's things like a B.B. King's. It's a restaurant, but it's more like a club and a restaurant where they have live music. There's laser tag. There's an IMAX theater. There's all types of really cool things right across the street. And so we've got some things planned, and especially for our speakers. Our speaker dinner is going to be a nice occasion. And our attendees will also be able to partake in some of the festivities around FawcettCon.
Sounds really good. Hey, I just wanted to chime in about Sundays, too. I tend to notice that well, the last day of the con in general, no matter when it is, tends to be a little light on participation. But definitely if the show is ending Sunday, it seems to be everybody's flying home and stuff. And as a speaker who sometimes speaks on Sundays, Gareth, my attendance tends to be a little bit down. I prefer something more towards the middle of the slot if I can. Also, early in the morning, bad slot to have at a conference because everybody's been partying the night before, and most geeks I know are like late risers anyway. But you know, I take whatever slot I get when I go to conference. So it's really cool. Hey, I'm a little curious. We had a couple questions from the chat room, and the first thing I want to bring up is that Weechum Six, who's in the chat room, says there's never any conferences near me. And I go, well, where are you? And he said, what is it, Plant City, Florida? And I said, hey, I think this is close to you. Mm. And he says, yeah, it's only about an hour away. So you may have like one new attendee already from the chat room. So it should be really fun. And also another question we had from the chat room, I'm just going to scroll back here. This Retro D asks, any discussion of patents and bad Oracle-like behavior, like removing products from open source?
Well, so to say bad Oracle-like behavior, that's... you know, I don't know about that situation, but we do. So Bradley Kuhn is keynoting, and Bradley Kuhn is ahead of the Software Freedom Conservancy. And Bradley Kuhn's talk is it's a patent talk, basically. Mm. So it's going to be, and you know, Bradley Kuhn is he's a very good speaker, and he can be controversial. So if you want to see something that is nice and entertaining and a bit edgy, Bradley Kuhn is the guy to see, especially at a keynote, because you know, he wrote the AGPL. So you know, not only is he partial to the AGPL, but he doesn't mind throwing other licenses under the bus that don't quite fit. The rigors as they should. So, and also we've got some folks from the FSF who are going to be at the event, and there's an FSF talk about patents as well. So yeah, definitely we'll have that type of content at FawcettCon.
Yeah, great. We've had Bradley on one of the shows, and he's I've had the pleasure of actually watching him talk at a number of conferences, and he's a very very lucid speaker, very good to go check out whatever you can hear him say. Also, we have another question from the chat room, and I want to make sure we get to all these. Untoward asks, for those who can't attend, is there a YouTube channel for this conference? And that's always an interesting problem with conferences, because if it's in the wrong city or a long ways away, but this content is still great, it'd be great to get it out there, and there's pretty cheap ways now of getting stuff broadcast. Are you considering that for this conference?
Well, so we're considering some options. We know that we're going to do something in regards to the keynotes. What I've seen with other events that I've been a part of, it becomes a post-production situation. Now, I have seen, like Scale, for instance, they do it live, which is great because there is no post-production. You don't even have to touch the video. And so that allows people who can't attend to tune in and, you know, be able to partake of the subject matter. Now, with FosterCon, we're still trying to get things ironed out in regards to what we're going to do with the sessions for individuals that can't come. So stay tuned, and we'll have that ironed out whether or not we're going to do it for sure with the speaker sessions. But we know for sure that the keynote and some of the Day Zero content will be either streamed or recorded.
That'll be great. That'll awfully be great. Are you also planning like an IRC channel that'll be open while the conference is going on?
Oh, definitely. So we already have an IRC channel, which is on irc.freenode.net. It's a #FosterCon. And yeah, you can jump in there and ask all the questions you want. You can idle. We've got some bots that tell you what the weather is. And there's also a countdown bot that lets you know how many days, hours, weeks, and seconds or something to the next FosterCon.
Very cool. And of course, this would be the first and only one so far.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Cool. The other thing, while mentioning the IRC channel, means that you'll probably have some sort of free Wi-Fi available. And what are you doing to arrange that? It seems to always be trouble at conferences, and even Scale was sort of bad up until a few years ago. So how are you going to arrange enough Wi-Fi for your conference?
Well, so we have a 50 megabit pipe connection that it will be available for everyone in the event. And so it will be free Wi-Fi. And, you know, with 50 megs, you can do a lot. You can do an awful lot, especially with a first time event. So and just too, one thing that's great about Scale is that, you know, you can see real time their utilization, how many devices are connecting. You know, they've got like all the SNMP data like right there for you to view in the hallway. So and just that, looking at their numbers and being with Southeast Linux Fest and looking at our bandwidth utilization numbers when I was with Self, I know pretty much that 50 megs will definitely cover us for the event.
Do you have a sense at this time, based on pre-registrations, what your total attendee size will be?
Well, so the registration situation is always really hairy because you can effectively get about 20% of the attendees that will show up pre-registering, and the other 80% will just fall out of the sky. You know, well, not literally fall out of the sky, but they'll just show up at the event. Yeah. So they won't pre-register. So what we're estimating is 600 attendees is what we're estimating. Hopefully it'll exceed it. Now, one thing to mention, Day Zero, which is Thursday, is when we offer breakfast. And you know, the sooner we get the numbers solidified on how many attendees are going to show up, the better we can plan for food. So if you plan on showing up on Day Zero and you want to get, you know, something to eat, then you should definitely pre-register because you'll be counted and we will definitely have food for you. Otherwise, we'll just break your plate and you won't be able to eat.
Good answer there. Who's working on this with you? You might as well mention other people on the committee and their roles and stuff as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Director of Operations is Garrett Honeycutt. Garrett has been invaluable in regards to the event and being a board member and getting things squared away. Garrett actually just left Orlando. He flew in and we got some things squared away in regards to the venue and other attractions around the area and speaker dinner. We've got a host of other individuals and volunteers. Michael Schultes, he helps out with Indiana Linux Fest. He helps out with Ohio Linux Fest. We've got a lot of other additional volunteers, but as far as the board, that's what the board is composed of as of right now. What we'd like is for people to jump in the IRC channel and get on board and help us out. We're looking for board members. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking for sponsors, too. So if you want a sponsor, also, we're still open to that.
And you have some pretty amazing sponsors already. How did you acquire those? What's the process like to get a sponsor for a conference like this?
Well, so the sponsorship process generally starts way ahead of time. So you start talking to these individuals. So last year in the fourth quarter, I was talking to individuals. Garrett was talking to individuals and companies in regards to relationships that you have. So if you've got some relationships, you can try to utilize those. But beyond having relationships, you can just kick in the door of some conference. You know, of course, you got to pay to get in, or if it's a free conference, you don't have to pay. And then you you go to the booths, and then you talk to people, and you get a feel for what they're looking for. And then you say, hey, you know, we've got an event. We'd like for you to present your materials at our event. And if it's in line with the theme of your event, and it makes sense to them, then you send them a prospectus, which basically outlines the, you know, basic information about your event, the sponsorship levels, the types of things that demographics is really good to have in a prospectus, and also just other opportunities and background information about the event and how it's relevant to them, and they'll look it over. And sometimes it'll take a month. Sometimes it'll take 7 or 8 months. And, you know, eventually you'll end up with some sponsorships, and you can take the event forward.
And I presume the sponsors get some sort of placement in the expo hall. Are there also paid expo hall booths?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. So with the expo hall situation, you know, we've got what we call premier sponsorships. And so, you know, people like tiers. So as far as location goes, there are spots that sponsors generally would like, especially if someone's giving you $1 gazillion, they should get, you know, a prime location with high visibility. But at the same time, we will mix in community booths and other just booths of small projects with those premier sponsors. So it's not a situation where all of the community booths will be on the back wall or like, you know, in the janitor's closet or something. You know, we mix it up pretty well. We learned that from Scale and how they do their format and how they mix everybody together, whether you're a small event or you're a small company or a large project or a small project.
So in terms of the exhibitors, you mentioned you mix them up that way, like you don't end up with one specific area where all the open source projects are. What is kind of your ratio in terms of commercial exhibitors versus the open source projects?
It's looking at about 60-40, 50-50, around that split. So it's pretty well balanced out. And even those with the even those commercial booths, these are companies that actually believe in free and open source software. The free in FawcettCon is there because, you know, this is a community thing and there's an ethos. And so, you know, there's actually sponsors that we've turned down. And there are sponsorships that we won't, encourage for our attendees, because there are certain things that attendees expect, and they expect from the venue, and we think that we should stay in line with that if we're going to call ourselves the Free and Open Source Software Expo and Technology Conference.
What is the reason why you've turned those down specifically?
We have a basically a code of conduct. And so, you know, when we first look at a sponsor, we you know, go around the site and try to figure out things. And so if there are things that directly violate our code of conduct that we already know will probably become an issue, then it's easy for us to rule that out, because we are serious, very serious about our code of conduct, because we have a diversity initiative. And in the at these events, there have been there's been a lot of reticence and negativity that will come out in regards to certain underrepresented groups. And so we want people to know that we are making an environment for them that is more conducive to them, to, for them to just show up and relax, versus them to be, you know, worried about this event or that event, this or that bad event happening at FosterCon. So, as I said, we like to try and make sure that our community is composed of people who are thinking the same and are cognizant of the way they need to act at the event and the way they need to act amongst others. So if you have materials on your site that is counter to that, then we're not, just for the dollar, we don't want you to run the event, you know, because it's a collective, collaborative thing.
That's a really admirable answer. I really appreciate you taking a stand on things, something like that, and making it so that ethics trumps dollars, because not everybody does, and it's a little scary when that happens. We're almost out of time, but I do want to ask a couple more questions, and then I'm going to ask two more questions after that. I did that before. Okay, I've got two questions about the show and then two questions about you. Well, actually, three questions about you. They let anybody do the show. Anyway, so I noticed on your list of qualifications, you have Time Magazine Person of the Year 2006. I think I know why you said this, but you want to explain what that means and where you got it?
Well, so Time Magazine, they recognized me as the Person of the Year 2006. So what you can do is if you Google Person of the Year 2006, you will find that everyone is a Person of the Year in 2006. So you can probably feel free to put this on a resume. Well, I don't know about putting it on a resume, but you can use it liberally, because we all were the Person of the Year in 2006. So
precisely. You know. Actually, I had suspected you got it from my LinkedIn profile, because I have it on there.
Oh, really? You do? I didn't get it from there. Yeah, I've been using that for a while, since 2006.
Remarkable coincidence, then. That's great. That's great. And the second question is, we've chatted a lot about FosterCon. We don't have very much time. Is there anything that you think we didn't cover that you want our audience to know?
Well, I want everyone to know that FosterCon is happening September the 11th through the 13th, and you're all invited. It's an open space. It's a great event. It's $20 for training, including food, breakfast and lunch, $10 for 2 days of conference. You know, that is, it's a low barrier of entry event. It's a great event. Everyone should come down to sunny Orlando, Florida, and enjoy the sun and fun and FOSS.
Yeah, I'm actually a little mad that I didn't find out about this conference soon enough in my schedule, but I will definitely, presuming you're going to do this next year, I will definitely come, and I'll volunteer to be a speaker. If you want me as a keynote, I can probably do that too, but I definitely want to get down to Orlando again. This is a lot of, this will be a lot of fun. Okay, two questions about you. What's your favorite scripting language?
Python.
Okay. I won't have you back on the show. No, just kidding. what's your favorite text editor?
I'm going to say VI as a text editor, but as an IDE, Emacs.
Ooh, VI, ooh, I'll take that. I'll take that. Yes, that's incredible. Thank you. You're redeemed now. You're absolutely redeemed. And like I said, I'm mad I didn't find out about this until you came up to me at OSCON. That also should let you know that you need to probably consider different ways of making it public next year, because if I didn't find out about it, and I like a lot of different conferences, and I'm the kind of person who should be hearing about it, it might have led to why you had a hard time getting speakers and stuff. So I would have loved to be there. So take that as feedback. And Brian, it's been wonderful having you on the show today. And I hope a lot of people who can make it there this year will go. And I hope a lot more people will make it next year, which will be really fun. Thanks, Brian, for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Randall and Garrett. And thank you for that feedback.
Cool. That was Brian Smith representing FawcettCon, which is having its first instance coming up in a mere few weeks. What do you think, Gareth?
I'm also kind of, I wouldn't say mad, but a little disappointed that I didn't find out and it, soon enough to attend myself. But it sounds like it's shaping up to be a really great event, and I'm always excited to see like similar events similar to like the community events springing up in different parts of the country, because it gives people that want something like that in their backyard the ability to and the opportunity to attend something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been to Northwest Linux Fest a bunch of times, and now I hear there's a new one opening up in Seattle this year. So, you know, more diversity, more people actually building their own regular conferences. And I also like that this is sort of broad across all of the open source stuff instead of just being, you know, primarily Linux focused. Well, there's nothing wrong with focusing on Linux. It's just that there's a lot more happening in open source these days than just that. So really glad we could bring him on and talk about this, and hope it promotes maybe a few people, well, somebody from the chat room coming this year. And then a lot more people coming next year as they find out more about that. So that's great. Anything else, Gareth, before I get on to the closing of the show here?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, great. So we have some upcoming guests still scheduled for Q3. Q3 is almost full, by the way. We've got to open up Q4. Probably do that this weekend. I always say that I'm going to do it this weekend, and then I put it off for like 4 weeks. But anyway, we talked about these last time. Crate Data, which is easy to scale real-time SQL data store. I'll see it when I believe it, because there's too many words in there that all contradict each other. So we'll see how they actually manage to do that. I think that's next week, in fact. Or it might be, no, yes, next week. And then RStudio, just added to the schedule. RStudio is a nice GUI for the R language, which people use to analyze large data sets to figure out, you know, variances and means and property graphs and stuff like that. Many of you out there probably use R, and many of you probably use RStudio. We actually have the sort of lead developer in RStudio coming on the show for that. That just got added to the schedule. Somebody I saw at OSCON, Ushahidi. They're a social network data analysis service. So you can find out, for example, by looking at Twitter postings and Facebook postings and Flickr images, that something's happening in an area and start to get aggregated data about it. Like maybe there's a riot happening on, and you can find this stuff out in real time. It's really cool. And they're doing real good social stuff with it. So I'm really looking forward to that as well. Skitch, which is SQITCH, it's a database change management application. So a lot of problems we have to solve when we're doing big data and stuff, or doing actually any modern database driven application, is how do you get the changes in the database coordinated from individual machines for testing up to QA and into production, and keep that flow working correctly, because sometimes database changes actually take things away and you have to make sure that that's coordinated at the right time. So really nice process that involves, it's supported by Git. So in other words, there's a Git database underneath it, and it that how they manage stuff, good stuff. And then just out of the schedule, I'm really happy about this. I saw a Docker presentation at OSCON. I went up to the presenter and I said, can you speak to me about Docker on my show? And he says, no, let me get you the head dude. So the head dude, I forgot his name. Where is it? It's somewhere in here. Sorry, I'll have to like look at that later. Is going to actually be on our show. And I'm looking for this about 6 weeks from now. Well, again, we'll be opening up Q4 soon. Move my notes in the wrong place where I can't read them now. Okay, we did have a couple of questions. Oh. You can find out who's coming up by looking at the spreadsheet linked to from the homepage for the show, which is twit.tv/floss. You can follow us at Floss Weekly and Google+. I make announcements as I post new people there. We also get mirrored to Floss Weekly on Twitter, all one word. We did take a couple of questions from the chat room today. We do have a live chat going on with the show. We're typically taping at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays. So the earliest show on the Twit Network once again. You can follow me at Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N. I'm also on Google+, as Randall L. Schwartz. Coming up next weekend, so if you're in the Seattle area, on August 23rd from 7:30 onward, Change of venue. We'll be at the McMiniman's in Queen Anne Hill. It's about 3 blocks away from my hotel, so it's real convenient for me. Also, they serve a bigger variety of food than the place I had selected before. And hopefully they're bigger and they can actually handle a huge influx of people. I'm kind of hoping everybody that I can be there can come. So that's 7:30 p.m. on August 23rd in McMiniman's in Queen Anne Hill. I have a Facebook invite set up. I've linked that to my Plus Google.com place, which also then shows up in my Twitter. So you've probably got the invite one way or the other if you're following me any kind of places. Also, I'm in various places from Seattle to Anchorage and back on the cruise for the next 2 weeks after that. So please look at my schedule there. If you're somewhere on a cruise port between Seattle and Anchorage, you will probably have a chance to see me. So please let me know. Everything I want to plug is that. Gareth, got anything you want to plug?
Everyone should go to FawcettCon.
There you go. I like that. Yay. Partnering. That's good. And he'll probably tell everybody to go to scale when they get there. Cool. Awesome. Well, we're out of time. So we'll see you again next week on Floss Weekly.